Let's pray. Father, again we look to you as we come now to hear a word from you. We know that faith comes from hearing and by hearing the word of God. We pray now that as we hear from you, that you would just speak to us. Lord, we have varied needs and we may be facing various challenges in our lives right now. But you are the God who is able to supply not just some, but all of our needs. So we ask now that you would just minister to each and every one of us now. Hide me behind the cross, that your people will see and hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Should we be surprised by miracles? Should we as Christians be surprised by miracles? Our reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 11 to 19, and then I'm going to look at a few verses from a different translation of the Bible. And it reads like this: Then Peter came to himself and said, Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. Now, context of this, friends, is that Herod had put Peter in prison for proclaiming and preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. They were told strictly not to utter his name. Do what you have to do, but just don't do it in the name of Jesus. We don't want to hear Jesus. But of course, they continued, they disobeyed the authorities, and the apostles continued to preach and proclaim Jesus. And as a result, Peter was thrown in prison. Verse 12 says, When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. And Peter knocked at the outer entrance. And a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. You're out of your mind, they told her. And when she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking. Let me in. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this, he said. And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. From Eugene Peterson's Message, I want to read from verse 12. It says, Still shaking his head, amazed, he went to Mary's house. Mary, who was John Mark's mother, the house was packed with praying friends. And when he knocked on the door at the courtyard, a young woman named Rhoda came to see who it was. When she recognized his voice, Peter's voice, she was so excited, eager to tell everyone that Peter was there, that she forgot to open the door and left him standing in the street. Should we be surprised by miracles? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Our words often used in our vocabulary that can be understood, friends, through the lenses of two perspectives. Just two. The first one being that of what I'd like to call literal application. For example, if I was to declare to you this morning that I am, without shadow of doubt, that I am the tallest member of Sitting Bull Baptist Church, then you would definitely be in no doubt that, Nathan, that is not true. I don't believe it. That's literal. Here's another example of literal application of the words, the usage of the words, I can't believe it. If I were to express this morning that I have a hit single in the UK charts, then I am sure you would definitely say, I don't believe it. I mean, come on, Nathan, we've heard you sing in church. I don't believe it. But not only can we use the words, I can't believe it, from a literal perspective, but we can also utilize these words as a metaphor or as a figure of speech. So although in this instance you do believe that it's true, something you believed was true, but sometimes we can use those words, I can't believe it, despite it being true, we use it out of sheer amazement and sometimes even shock. You may utter those words, I can't believe it. Can I tell you, friends, that come September, by the grace of God, knowing what I know about my family, those who hail from the Isles of Jamaica, and friends that come from that country, that by God's grace will be with us on September the 17th. I can tell you without a shadow of doubt that when you invite some of my family members and friends from Jamaica to an ordination and an induction service that is starting promptly at 11, I can tell you right now, with all boldness, that I will be amazed and astonished if they arrive at 11 o'clock. And if they do, then I will say, I can't believe it. For those of you who are married, and one spouse has a proven track record for not knowing their way around the kitchen. If it be your wife or your husband, whoever. If one of them says to you, I want you to come home because I'm going to cook you a nice three-course meal. A lovely meal just for you. Maybe it will be in that moment that some of you would say, I can't believe it. However, today, the main essence of the sermon question is not primarily, do we believe that God is able to perform the miraculous today? Although we will certainly touch on that in a moment. But today, the main question is should we be surprised by the miraculous? This word, surprise, that carries the idea or the feeling of something happening that you did not expect. Question before us today, church, is should Christians be surprised when God performs miracles before our very eyes? And one of the main reasons why people may be surprised by miracles and by signs and by wonders today in this generation is the reality for some that miracles, as one may understand, are no longer as frequent as in the days of Christ on earth or in the days of indeed the early church. The apostolic age. So therefore, one may suggest that feeling surprised if God performs a miracle is normal, a normal expression, because miracles don't seem to happen on a regular basis in our generation. That's how some may feel. Another important point to note is the classification of what we deem to be a miracle. Because for many of us today, going home and turning on the tap to find water flowing out from it would not be of a surprise to each and every one of us here today. But for some families around the world, having a tap of unlimited clean water, to them, it would be a miracle. A miracle. That's why it's so important, church, that we have to have a more complete and more comprehensive understanding of miracles. Because miracles are not always the sick recovering from their illnesses. Miracles are not always cancerous cells drying up and being healed. Miracles are not always those who are unable to walk, leaping up out of a wheelchair and running around the church. Miracles are not always the recovery of sight to the blind and the dead being raised back to life. All of these are examples that often spring to mind when we think about miracles. But friends, I want to encourage you today that the very fact that God allowed you to wake up this morning, and the very fact that you did not put your shoes on your head or your socks on your hands is testament to the miracle working power of God, the giver and also the sustainer of our lives. That's why the Apostle Paul would put it this way. He says, "It's in him, God, that I live, that I move, and that I have my very being, my essence, who I am. It's because of God." In other words, what he's saying is, I can't live without the breath of God in me. That's why when God created Adam, he didn't come alive until he breathed into his nostrils. He breathed into him the breath of God. In other words, I can't live, I can't exist without him. I need him. And the very fact that we're alive today, that we woke up this morning, is testament to the fact that God wrought a miracle in our lives, because we don't have the power ourselves to get up in the morning. We don't. It's because of him we live. But then he goes on to say, I can't even move. Live, move without the power of God. The fact that we can move, the fact that we can get around. And yes, sometimes in life, as we get older, I remember how quick I used to be when I was a teenager. I mean, I was so quick when I used to run the 50 meter dash. Oh, at school, I used to always win the award. But if I was to run that race now, I'm not too sure that I would win. Because as you get older, things can change in the body. But yet still, through God, he gives us the power to move. And then I love, he goes on to say, in him I have my being, my essence, my existence. That my existence is not based upon our level of success in life. Our existence is not based upon how much money we have in the bank. But our existence is being totally dependent on the hand of God in our lives. So church, can I encourage you today, don't just limit miracles to the big and to the dramatic ones. Because in doing so, we may lose sight of what we may think is small and mundane. It's a more complete, comprehensive understanding of miracles. So, I want to leave with you this morning just three brief points to try and answer the question before us today. Should we be surprised by miracles? Well, the first point I want to leave with you briefly is the difference. We have to understand the difference between God's essence and his activity. The difference between God's essence, his being, who he is, versus his activity. The first point is, we have to understand that God never changes. Who he is never changes. In the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the word of the Lord says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." God never changes. In the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, "For Jesus is the same yesterday, today, present, and forevermore," future. He never changes. God never changes. However, God's activity on earth can change. His essence, who he is, remains the same, but his activities, how he decides to operate, how he decides to move, can change from generation to generation. For example, in the Old Testament, King Hezekiah, some of you will recall this story. The word of the Lord came to him, the king, and said, "Set your affairs in order, for you shall surely die." What a message from God. I mean, I don't want to receive one of those messages from God. Set your affairs in order. Get yourself together. Make some arrangements, because you shall surely die. Oh, I don't want to hear that one. But Hezekiah took what the Lord said. The Bible says he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. And when he prayed, God changed the course of action that was going to be intended for Hezekiah's life. He told him to set yourself in order, for you shall die. Hezekiah took what he said, turned his face to the wall, prayed, and God added many more years to his life. Same God, position never changes, who he is never changes, but his activity, how he operates, can change. Here's another example. We read in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul had a real unusual gift when it came to miracles. I mean, such was the power that emanated and the anointing on his life that Paul didn't even have to touch you for you to be healed, but he would anoint handkerchiefs. Handkerchiefs. And if they touched Paul, the handkerchiefs could touch someone, they would put it on their body and they would be healed. Now, we may get some handkerchiefs and touch them, and that might not happen today. Same God, same power, but just a different course of how God may operate. There's an occasion in the scripture with Paul that when he was teaching for so long that this man named Eutychus, he fell asleep. He fell from the window and he died. Paul came down from the meeting, from the Bible study, if you will, and he came down and he laid prostrate over him and he got up. He was healed, came back from the dead. Now, someone may fall from the balcony and have a really bad accident. And one of us may do exactly what Paul done. And maybe that person might not get up, like Eutychus. Does not mean that God has changed, but it just means that God may choose to operate in a different way. And he did for Paul. Position never changes, but his activity changes. But I want to encourage you today on this point, because some of you may be saying, well, does that mean then that the miracles in the Bible are no longer relevant for today? If his activities change, then should we expect miracles now? And there are some, of course, who ascribe to the belief that those miracles have ceased, that they are no longer in operation, that they are no longer functional, that we shouldn't look for the miraculous now, today. But personally, I cannot espouse to that belief, because I believe that, as we read, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, his essence never changes, that means he has the power to do the same thing that he did yesterday, today, and forevermore. So yes, we can pray and believe and expect miracles, but how he chooses to answer our prayer may not always be in alignment with how Jesus performed miracles and how the apostles performed miracles in their day. But here's the key. Just because we may not see a miracle in the exact same way that we see recorded in the Bible, it does not change the fact that God is able to perform miracles. Doesn't change it. He's still able to perform a miracle. I may get sick and die from that sickness, and I may have prayed that God would heal me from it, but the very fact that if I died because of the sickness, it doesn't change the fact that God is a healer. God is still a healer, despite the fact that he may not choose to heal us in how we see fit. Doesn't change his position as a healer. Number two, do we truly believe in miracles? Verse 12, look what it says. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, where many people had gathered and were praying. Church, they were having a prayer meeting in Mary's house, the mother of John. They had gathered together for a nice prayer meeting to pray for Peter because he was locked up in jail. But the question is, did they truly believe that God was able to free Peter from jail? They met together. They were praying, the Bible says. But did they truly believe that God was able to save Peter? I don't know what they were praying, but maybe they had already made up in their minds that Peter was finished. And maybe their whole sole purpose for gathering to pray was just for it to be a timely and orderly death, that he wouldn't have to suffer so much pain, that whatever Herod may choose to do to him would be done quickly, that he can be at rest, and that we can arrange for his funeral. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe that was the expectation of their prayer. And maybe the answer is found in why they were so amazed that Peter was at the door. They were astonished. They couldn't believe it, that Peter was at the door. And I want to encourage you today that when we meet together and pray, as I said earlier, let us not just come together and pray because it's the right thing to do, but let us come together and truly believe that God is able to do miracles in our midst. That when we pray for those who are sick, when we pray for those who are down emotionally, that we pray believing that God is able to turn those situations around, in so much that when we get the feedback from those individuals, that we won't be surprised, that we won't be amazed to learn that that person is now back home doing well. We won't be amazed to hear that that person has now made a full recovery, because we have faith and trust that God is able to do it. But third and finally, not only should we understand the difference between God's essence and his activity. Position never changes. Do we truly believe in miracles? But third and finally today, we have to understand the appropriate response to miracles. Can we say that together? The appropriate response, yes, to miracles. I love Peter's response because despite the rapturous response from those who had gathered at the prayer meeting, who according to the message were going wild with sheer excitement and amazement that Peter was at the door, despite the joy that was filling the house of Mary, I love the response of Peter. Because the Bible lets us know that he was quick to settle everyone down. He said, quiet down. He made it crystal clear, abundantly clear, that the miracle of his escape was not down to his theological training. It was not down to the fact that he was so good and mighty and full of faith. But Peter was quick to let them know that it was all because of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we have to be very careful that when God answers our prayers and when God performs the miracles in our lives, that we understand to whom the praise and the glory should be given. Not ourselves, not the prayer meeting. Not because someone has great faith and they were able to lay hands and the sick recovered. No, it's not the individual, it's the spirit in the individual, the power of God. Amen. Said, quiet down, Peter said. Stop all this fuss. Let me tell you why this happened. It was because of Jesus. Let me tell you why I'm free. Let me tell you why I've been set free out of Herod's prison. It's because of Jesus. See, sometimes we can become so fixated with the miracle, the sign and the wonder, that we focus more on the miracle and rather than focusing on the God of the miracle. You know, one thing I've learned about my mum's cat, Kitty Cat, we call her, is that a cat's loyalty is not primarily based towards the owner. Mm-mm. As cute as you may think they are, their loyalty is not based towards the owner. But a cat's loyalty is ultimately based on the provision of food that comes from the owner. That's why sometimes when I beckon to my cat and call it to come to me, she ignores me. Just so rude. Just ignores me. But oh, if I had a Dreamies biscuit in my hand. If I have a Dreamies biscuit in my hand, then she will arrive at my feet quicker than Usain Bolt would run at the Olympics. Because she's more concerned with the provisions rather than the provider. Friends, it's just like the 5,000, not counting the women and the children, that were fed miraculously by Jesus, who witnessed a miracle before their very eyes. When Jesus took that lad's lunch, 2 pieces of fish and 5 loaves of bread. But that same crowd who enjoyed the miracle, that same crowd who enjoyed the lunch, were the very same crowd who later on, in the gospel passage, they turned their backs on Jesus because they didn't like his teaching. Now, they enjoyed the miracle now, but their loyalty was based on the miracle, the sign, the wonder, rather than having a relationship with Jesus. So in closing today, should we look for miracles? I believe we should. Do Do I believe that God is able to perform miracles today? Absolutely. Should we be surprised by miracles? I really don't think we should, because we know the track record of God. We know He has a proven track record of doing great and miraculous and great wonders in our midst. So it really shouldn't surprise us. But the key essence of today's message is not that we should go away from here looking primarily for miracles. But the main essence of this message is to believe in the God who is able to do miracles. I would rather have God than have the miracle. See, sometimes we can be fascinated by the miracle, but not want nothing to do with the God behind it. But the challenge today, do you know Jesus, the miracle worker? Not the miracle itself, but do you know Jesus, who is able to do miracles? Let's pray. Father, like Peter, not from a literal perspective, but some of us may be in our own forms of incarceration. Not literally, but maybe we feel that we're in a sense of bondage at the moment. It just seems like we're being closed in, and it just seems like there's no way out. Don't know who that's for today. Just seems like there's nowhere to breathe. I just can't seem to figure this out. Just, it's cloudy at the moment. I just don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Seems like I'm in a box and I can't see a way out. I pray today that the same God who was able to perform that miracle that Peter could escape prison, to be free to do your work, I pray today that you would make it abundantly clear, crystal clear, to map that way out, the pathway forward in the situations that we may be facing right now. Whatever it may be, I pray today that we would leave here having full trust and confidence that you are the God who is able to do the miraculous. We started this service, Father, asking the question, is anything too hard for you? And the question is no. Nothing is too hard for you. So we submit all of our needs to you now. Every single one of them. We don't want to carry them around and have a burdened heart. But allow us now to leave them at your feet. To submit all of our cares to you. Because you care for us. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to return to song. And I know the worship team are going to kill me, but we're going to change the song. I want us to do Waymaker again as we close out. Waymaker. I know we've sung it, but we're going to sing Waymaker. We're going to close out with Waymaker. He's a miracle worker, promise keeper. He's light in the darkness. And there may be one before we sing that does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you today, we want you to come to that full knowledge of Jesus for yourself. What a beautiful day to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. What a day to have a relationship, not just with the God who can do miracles, but the God who is able to walk with you each and every day. If that's you, you want to make that decision to know Jesus for yourself, then today you can be saved. You can know Jesus for yourself. And to know him, the Bible says, is life eternal. You can have that relationship with him. Maybe you have a need, you want further prayer, then after the service, in the prayer corner, we're going to have our prayer partners. Yes, Graham, I know you told. Prayer partners are going to be positioned there. So please do meet us there if you would like further prayer. Amen.